I could have your mercy, endure it forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endure it forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. Oh, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. You are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. Oh, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are.
You guys can have a seat. So blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I want to take just a few minutes here to go over a couple of announcements that you have in your bulletin. I want to bring to your attention that Community Wednesdays are starting back up this Wednesday. There's going to be a meal provided at 5:45, and then the classes will take place after that. And you can see in this little handout all of the classes we have offered. There really is something for everybody. And so we want to invite you to come and be a part of one of those classes. You'll notice in some of them, if not all of them, there's a price for the book. We don't want that to be a reason for you not to come and join a class. So if that's a problem for you, or if that's something that maybe you just don't have in your budget, we understand. Don't let that stop you from coming and joining the class. We'll work all that out, okay? So we want to invite you to do that. Also, want to thank you for taking these, I don't know if you've seen these around here, these door hangers. If you haven't taken these, there's some at the back of the soundboard. And go ahead and pick these up, put them on your neighbor's doors. I mean, if Pizza Hut can do it, we can, right? Nobody's calling Pizza Hut. Quit putting these on my door. So I think you'll be okay. Hand them out at people at the grocery store. Hand them to, you know, somebody you work with. Just slip it on their desk, you know. Anyway, hand them out, and we want to thank you for helping us do that. Also, as we say every Sunday, we want you to remember that these attendance pads are going to be coming across. That's not a way for us to keep tabs on you. Yes, it is. But it's a way that we can know that you were here. We can keep you in our prayers. And so please don't be intimidated by filling out your information on that pad for us this morning. Let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly God, we are honored and humbled to be called your children. The mercy and grace that you've shown to us, Father, so undeservingly, we just want to thank you for that. We are here this morning to celebrate that. Lord, we want everything that comes out of our mouths just to be a blessing to you, God. We pray that you would just, in return, fill this place with your Spirit and your presence as we continue to worship you, Father, the one true God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
So wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Powerful, so powerful, your glory fills the skies. Your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Beautiful one. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Well, you've opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love. Nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Yeah, you've opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love. Nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. Thank you.
Let's sing that verse again.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Lord of heaven and earth.
Early in the morning,
oh, early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night, singing God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Lord of heaven and earth.
The Lord of heaven, you're the Lord of heaven and earth.
You're the Lord of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy.
Sing it out this morning.
God of wonders declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You're the Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and of earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. Heaven and earth.
You're the Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen. You guys can have a seat.
Okay, well, today we're going to look for a sign and see if we know what some of these signs are. You know when you go to school how everything is labeled? You can find the cafeteria because it says cafeteria on it, right? Or your teacher's rooms because it has their name on it. Or the gym, so you know where to go to gym class. Or to the library, you know where to go to find that. Well, when we're driving around town, there's signs all over the place. And we're going to see if you can identify some of these signs. Do you know what this sign is? A walk sign, Shep? No, not yet. Not yet. You're ahead of me, Shep. This one is a school crossing sign. It means that you should slow down because there's going to be children around. So probably in your around your schools, you'll see this sign. Okay. Right. Lucy said you might run over the little kids. Now, Shep's already identified this one. Side. What should you do, Shep?
Stop.
when you see it, you should stop, or else you're going to get in trouble. Ooh. A car will run over you. You're right. Yes. Now, what is this one? Y'all are getting ahead of me. What is this one? No parking sign. So if you park there, what might you get? A parking ticket, which is not a good thing. And this one, what is this one? No smoking. Yes, no smoking allowed. What about this one? Very good. It's communion. Miss Laura didn't know if you would get this. I said, no, you're too smart for that. It's communion, right? And that's what the congregation's going to do today. Okay, now let's see. Now, this sign here, what do you think? What does this sign tell us? So what does this sign tell us? Very good. What else? Jesus, what does Jesus do? He died on the cross for us, and what else does he do? Does he love us? Yes. So that's the sign I want to see, right? Yes, he loves all the little children. So those are the signs that we want to see. So we notice this one right here tells us that it's a safe place, right? This is the sign that we all want to look for, is the sign of the cross, okay? I'm going to let our little friend read prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the bread of life. We don't need a sign. We believe in the Holy Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
For those of you who want to come watch VeggieTales with me, you can. Not the congregation, but my children.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. Let us join in prayer time together. Our God and our Father, as we think about the children and what they were thinking about with the cross, we realize that it's so much a part of who we are as Christians. So today, as we'll be focusing upon the crosswalk, we think about the steps that we take every day in our faith. Oh God, protect us. We look around and we're so thankful for those that were able to visit and worship today. We pray for those who are traveling or resting. Keep them safe, and may they be back within the fellowship of Christ next Sunday. Father, we look forward to our times on Community Wednesdays when we will be in fellowship in the Word, learning more about you to strengthen that walk that we take each day. Because sometimes in the walk we stumble. Sometimes we trip up. Sometimes we joyfully have a skip or two. But all in all, with every step, Father, it's like the footprints in the sand. There are times Jesus is carrying us, and we are grateful and thankful. We do pray for those who are far, far away, fighting for the freedom of our country. We pray that in some way and in somehow they have a moment in which to worship you and to focus on the cross, and that the love of God carries them safely, so that one day, this world might truly experience your peace. So, Father, as we gather in this time of prayer and we prepare our hearts to receive the elements of Holy Communion, we thank you that as we come forward and confess our sin and are aware of our sin, that we are forgiven of our sin, that we might be strengthened to love more and to sin less. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we have our morning offering, I would like to invite Ashley and Josh Burks to come forward for just a stewardship moment.
Good morning. Thank y'all for being here on a beautiful Labor Day weekend. My name is Ashley Burks, and this is my husband, Josh Burks, and our daughter, Lily Burks. We just wanted to talk to you a little bit about why we are at Asbury, what kind of programs we're involved in, and why we love coming to Asbury. We started attending Asbury in 2005. We came because a family member got married here. We thought the church was beautiful and the people were very nice. So we said, oh, we'll just keep coming and see what happens. It wasn't until Tom Weir got a hold of us and invited us, kept inviting us. Someone invited us to Sunday school, so we started attending that. And so we joined in 2007, and on the same day, Josh got baptized. So it was a very special day for us. We like to stay involved in Asbury as much as we can through activities. I have been a member of the Handbells. I do Altar Guild. I'm a children's Sunday school teacher. I love to help with missions. That's my passion, like with Stone Soup and the Mission Society that we're kind of formulating now. Josh is in Trustees, and he's kind of the unofficial tech guy for Asbury. Lily, do you want to say what you like to come and do at Asbury? She should say Miss Laura. She loves Miss Laura. But she likes anything that's fun, like Sunday school, kids club, children's choir. She just loves to be here. It's kind of like it takes a village to raise a child. Well, you know, y'all are that village. We are also very involved in our Sunday school. We adopted Lily in 2008, and when we started the process, it is very expensive to do private adoption, and it takes a lot of faith and a lot of love and support. So we got that from our Sunday school class. They prayed for us. They had us a baby shower before Lily was even born. We had a couple of fundraisers, so they volunteered their time and their hours, you know, that they could be doing something else. They gathered recipes for our cookbook fundraiser. And in turn, we have supported and loved them in times of transition for their families. We also love to do missions together and love to have social gatherings. So if you're not involved in a Sunday school class or a small group, I do encourage you to do that so you can feel the same love and support that we have felt over the years. Some ways to get involved in Asbury. I know that you've received the covenant ministry. Lily, if you'll model that for me. Hold it up. Hold up the envelope. Okay. Anyway, it's got the covenant ministry in it and also the stewardship campaign pledge cards. So on the covenant ministry, there are 81 ways that you can get involved, if you'll read through there, at least 81 ways that are listed. And it has descriptions of every way that you can get involved. So there we go. So you could join a music program, teach a Sunday school class, or a Bible study, plan an event, do the video ministry, or even bake bread every couple of months. There are lots of ways to get involved, so please look at that and fill those out. Now Josh is going to tell you some more ways to serve at Asbury.
All right. First of all, I want to thank all of y'all for attending or visiting today. It's very special that you're here. I want to add what Ashley said by encouraging and challenging you to try the 1% improvement plan. You probably think 1% is a small number, and in reality, as a percentage, it really is a small number. But if you break down what that 1% represents, you'll see the enormous potential of just a measly 1%, and what great things we, the Church of Asbury, can do in the name of Jesus, inside and outside of this church. First of all, did you know that most of us contribute 1% every week by just attending? If you do the math, it's 10,080 minutes in a week. And if you're here for an hour and a half, that's roughly 1%. So I challenge you to think about it and pray about it and maybe see if you can add another 1% next year and maybe come to a Community Wednesday or join in one of the many of the 81 things Ashley mentioned on the ministry list there. And also, what happens if we apply the 1% improvement plan to, say, our giving and our tithing? And let's say we try our best every year to add 1%. Imagine the possibilities and the great things we, the church, could do if we all always tried to make small, focused improvements every year and make that 1% commitment. And eventually we'll all be to where we want this church to be. And thank you very much.
Before we have our offering, I just want to share with you a couple of wonderful victories. If you notice the schoolhouse back there, even though not every single brick looks like it's shaded in, actually, due to your faithfulness, you purchased 1.5 schools to the Rice Depot. Give yourselves a hand. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And also last Sunday, if you were here, we had a wonderful time of fellowship and wonderful music. And through, again, your generosity and the wonderful silent auction items that were here and with the ticket prices and such for the Ice Cream Social, you raised over $7,000. And so that, again, is to your credit and to the glory of God. And so good things are happening. And you may have also noticed in the bulletin that we have begun through the Administrative Council approval that we're going to be renovating this space. And so if you love worshiping here in the celebration service and you want to see maybe a little touch up here or there, then please make a check written to the WAC renovation. Let us go to God and pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, your abundance is all around us, and we see it and we feel it, we experience it. And now we want to give abundance to your kingdom. God, you're moving. We feel it in your spirit and in your love. And again, we ask that you bless these gifts and these givers. And we thank you for the miracle in which you will take these gifts and multiply them for your kingdom work. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I. There you go, lifting my load again. Yeah. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come upon you, the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Take upon you the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Yeah. Oh. Oh, you're lifting my load. 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 Lord, you're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Take upon you the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. Burden is so light, yeah. Take a moment to remember who I am and who God is. There you go, lifting my load again.
Can you sing that with me? Take a moment.
Take a moment to remember who I am and who God is. There you go, lifting my load again.
Let's sing that again. Take a moment.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again.
You're lifting my load.
You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load.
Amen.
So blessed. If you brought your Bibles or if you'd like to follow along on the screens, we're going to be reading from God's Holy Word in the New Testament from the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. May the people of God be touched by the hearing and reading of God's Holy Word as recorded in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Back in 1867, the great state of Alaska was going through tremendous political controversy. The recently reunited Union of the States was struggling under arguably the most unpopular president to that point, President Andrew Jackson. The Russians approached the Secretary of State, William Seward, concerning purchase of land in the North Country. That purchase would be about 500,000 square miles at 2 cents an acre. Seward thought it was a great idea, but the rest of the states had a different opinion. The lower 48 states coined the phrase of this so-called purchase, Seward's folly, or Seward's icebox. Scorn and ridicule concerning the project grew rampant. Everyone thought it was ludicrous. The purchase, nevertheless, was made, and the naysayers, they continued with their negativity until gold was discovered in that Klondike, and the $7.2 million was quickly recovered. That particular point in American history presented a crossroads as such. Seward's folly was determined to be either genius by way of real estate or deemed to be completely ludicrous. The purchase was something not planned, but it occurred. Some feeling that it was the dumbest thing that they had ever heard of, others feeling like it was a rather wise move, but they were in the minority. That particular point in American history really describes a crossroads as such. Again, this major difference of opinion, and everyone was talking about it. I think there's times in our lives when we can say pretty much the same thing at times. We have a decision to make. We're at a certain place in our life, and we can go one or two ways. We have a situation, perhaps, that makes no sense to us. We grow angry. Or we trust God. Now, if you choose the option to become angry, you can guarantee two things are going to happen. You're going to feel that added stress fueled by the anger. And for most people, you're going to also experience some drama. Some people thrive on both of those. Now, if you take the other road and you turn it over to God, then two things happen. You either strengthen that trust that you have in God, and you also experience, and who doesn't want this, His peace. And the bigger questions in life, we find the answers to that at the cross. Taking the crosswalk. I think in terms of the message of the cross, we also find ourselves at crossroads. Some people feel like it makes complete and utter nonsense. Not sense, but nonsense. Someone dies on a cross and all kinds of people get to go to heaven? Or it truly is the greatest miracle in the world that takes us straight to the heart of God. It's one or the other. It can't be both. The cross first came into being as an instrument of torture. It was the gallows, the electric chair, the gas chamber, and lethal injection all in one for that day and time. And somehow, centuries later, it's become a symbol for the grace of God. The love of God so great that He would give His only begotten Son that we would live and be with God forever. And suddenly, with that new interpretation, that new claiming of the cross, you saw them pop up everywhere, tops of steeples, on a roadside to mark the passing of a loved one at an accident or wreck site. Some people put one in their yards, wear them around their necks. The cross has become a symbol of hope that this is not all there is. There's more. And the church in Corinth very early on was confused about this idea of the cross. They were a fragmented yet very proud church, and in many ways morally confused. And they would take the cross and hold it high and say, yes, we are followers. But the book of 1 Corinthians, as you read it, is like listening to one side of a telephone conversation of someone who's rather conflicted. The church was in a mess. Churches can get that way. We've seen churches that seem to flounder for years. Churches can listen to the wrong voices, the voices that are disguised as leaders, but leaders that are wanting to take the church in the worldly direction, not in the spiritual, godly direction. I've been appointed to churches who were affected by such chaos. Congregations divided in loyalty. Congregations divided in faith practice. Complaining instead of praying. Griping instead of pulling together and going in a positive spiritual direction. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this first letter to the Corinthians in order to address a smattering of problems, because the people were all conflicted in these issues, all kinds of issues. And they were yielding to some of those issues. And so Paul started with the basics. Walk the way of the cross. Hear again his words. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, how will I destroy the wisdom of the wise? The cleverness of the clever I will set aside. The word of the cross is power. Why is it power? Why is it that the cross is power? Are those just mere words? Of course not. The word of God is never just mere words. Because sheer knowledge does not save. Think about knowledge today in this technological age. My goodness, what was true and what was knowledge yesterday may turn on a dime today due to technology. And some say that knowledge is based on experience. Well, that's a scary thing. Not everyone has the same experiences. So your knowledge of a situation may be totally vastly different than someone else's knowledge of a situation because experiences vary from person to person. So we cannot believe that knowledge is experience because it does not verify an absolute truth. We cannot possibly be at all places, at all times, in all conversations, so we can't get the whole picture. Simply said, we are finite human beings with great limitations. We, nor the Corinthians in their day, understand totally God's will or plan. So Jesus is given to us by God. And suddenly, we are exposed to this mind of God through Jesus. Read him. Read his words. Read them as if you're reading them for the first time. Read them with that freshness that he had a way of offering time and time again. Jesus came to expose us to the mind of God so that he would then lead us to the heart of God, which is love. We nor the Corinthians in their day understand God's full plan. The persecutors of Christ, they had that limited understanding. Paul himself was a persecutor of Christ until he experienced Christ. Now, the people who were persecuting practiced a couple of deadly sins, presumption and assumption. And if you have ever been the victim of presumption or assumption, then you know how destructive it can be. They had a distorted picture of Christ. And we can be in the same danger of that distortion when we do not go to God first for the facts of a situation or for our salvation. It cost Christ then. It costs Christ now. We need to be very careful about what we're saying inside here and out there. Because our words and our actions, you better believe, can just as easily bring someone away from Christ, turn them away, as they can bringing them to Christ. So Paul says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe, the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, there may be some Sunday morning messages preached by preachers that you find just a little hard to take, that seem to be a little unbelievable. How is a baby born of a virgin? How is a man killed, buried, and is able to rise again? How exactly is water turned into wine? A lot of people would like to know that one. How do the lame walk again? Explain to me how someone who has never been able to speak a word suddenly can talk. Or someone who has been crippled can leap up in the air and walk again. How can someone who has not been able to hear suddenly hear crystal clearly? And why don't miracles today seem as evident as they did in the times of the Bible? Could it be that you and I are just a wee bit distracted? Well, half of us can't get our spouses to listen to us, or our children. It could be that we're a wee bit distracted. It could be that we're so self-involved. It could be that we're so stressed out trying to manage our lives that we just are not as aware of God's miracles, but they are happening every day. We just have to decide we're going to be open to see them and then to witness them. Because faith doesn't have to make sense to be real. Amen? Faith doesn't have to register in the mind, but it does have to register in the soul. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen.
You look distressed.
Distressed? I'm way past distressed.
What is that?
I'm talking to an elf. And I stopped believing in Santa Claus a long time ago.
That's not surprising. Most grown-ups can't believe in magic. It just sort of grows out of them.
Look, you're a nice little elf.
Thanks.
But this is a dream. I mean, this is fabulous. Is that a polar bear trapping down there? I see it, but I don't believe it.
You're missing the point.
What is the point?
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Kids don't have to see this place to know that it's here. They just know. Well,
seeing is believing. No. Believing is seeing. I just thought, as hot as it is, you ought to appreciate a Christmas cold reference. And if I was really brutal, I'd tell you how many more days it is until Christmas. But I won't do that. The ads in the paper will be doing that soon enough. Hear these words from Paul. For indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There are two points. When you come to the cross of Jesus, it is either the height of foolishness and nonsense, or it is truly the way and walk to the heart of God. It's not both. It's one or the other. Take your choice. In Genesis 11, there's a story of the people who were building a Tower of Babel. And they got it in their head that they were going to be as great as God. And so they began to build this tower that went to the heavens themselves, or so they thought. It didn't last. It crumbled. It was God's way of saying no. And Paul uses, you see, this exaggeration to show that the wisdom, supposedly, of men is far meeker, you see. God is wiser than we ever can imagine that we could ever deem ourselves to be. Always has, always will. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We want answers now. We want direction now. We want action now. Oh, and we want proof now. When will we ever learn God cannot be coerced, God cannot be managed, God cannot be manipulated, and in terms of time, God's got his own timeline. You can't manipulate that either. God's wisdom prevails, and when we learn that, we will learn one of the greatest things in life, one of the greatest lessons in life. Our girls, they hated moving around as much as they had to. Now, I didn't really relate to it as well because I'd lived in the same town in the same house for 18 years and went to college and been moving around ever since. Now, Tony could relate to it because he was a United Methodist preacher's son. He could relate to the anger that prevailed in our household from time to time. It wasn't until much later that the girls came to me and said, "You know how traumatized we were by all that moving around?" I said, "Oh, I remember." And they said, "But you know, Mom, when we went to the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville and walked that vast campus, and invariably on the first week of school, and we'd be walking across with a friend, every now and then somebody'd say, 'Hey, Katie,' or 'Hey, Kara.' And the person next to us the first week of school would go, 'What's up with that? You know everybody.' And they said, 'Yeah, we've moved around and met a lot of people.' Something that was so horrible for them, and there's no doubt in my mind that it was horrible to uproot and to leave friends, to leave school systems and community. But something so horrible has turned into this wonderful network for them, especially as young adults in a career world. On this Holy Communion Sunday, we remember this Jesus, Son of God, dying on the cross, and the Greeks look at Christ crucified and say, 'Nonsense.' And the Jews look at this man dying on the cross to save the sins of the world, and they say, 'No way. Our Messiah is going to be the deliverer. Our Messiah looks like a general. Our Messiah looks like a king.' So they stumble over that notion. Matthew 12:38. The scribes and Pharisees said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a sea monster, so will the Son of Man be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, crucified, buried, raised from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord.' You want a sign? Well, resurrection should be good enough. It's the crosswalk, that place on the road where children know that they can cross safely to where they are going. Jesus Christ, my friends, is our crosswalk to take us by the hand and by the heart and take us safely into a secure place of salvation. The gospel says this. God has done it. He took the initiative to come to us. And did you know that separates us from every other religion in the world? Biblical Christianity is where God comes to us. And all other religions, the people work and move to go to God. But through Jesus Christ, God came to us. Not something we earn, this grace. It means God did it for us, gives it for us. The cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. A childhood game was playing king on the mountain, and the whole point of the game was to be able to stay on that mound before the others were able to get you off of it. The person who succeeds is the last one standing on the mountain, the one who is left when everyone else is gone. Jesus was the one who rose beyond the grave. The cross became the wisdom of God and the power of God. It is the crosswalk from this life into life everlasting and eternal salvation. But we believe in Jesus, the man who prepared the meal, giving us his body and his blood, asking us to do so in remembrance of him. to trust our salvation. He died for us. He came back to us. And he is going to come back for every believer in this room. He's going to come back for us. It takes one step, the most important step, the step across the crosswalk. So my question this morning would be to you, who is it that you need to lead to the safety through the crosswalk? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite the congregation to prepare their hearts and minds to receive Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law, we have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. So the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give our thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. And when our love failed, your love remained steadfast. We thank you and we offer this praise to the Holy Spirit which guides and directs us. And so with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks unto you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks unto you and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts and bread and wine and make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, you do not have to be a member in order to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. We also want to share with you that the basket in the middle of the aisle there is open if you care to give a donation to the community fund to help the needy. We also have a gluten-free wafer for those of you, if you'll just indicate that you'd like one of those. But this is the body and the blood of Christ prepared for you to partake, that you might be nourished in His Spirit. I'd invite those that are going to help me this morning to come forward first. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this feast that you have set before us. And as it has nourished our bodies, we pray now that we be nourished in your spirit as we go forward now in your holy love. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Let's be standing and sing our closing song.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, we're here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.
God, we thank you for this hour of worship. We pray as we go forward now that we have drenched in your spirit into our souls, that we would go forward now and to pour out that same spirit of love and grace to all we meet. May we go now in the love of God, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good and your mercy endureth forever.